Good evening to everybody. Welcome. Last time, Dawal said that I only speak English out of self-defense. But there are other reason, and that is to bring you the good news, the gospel. So be with me, and I will try my very, very best. But it will not go easily, but I trust the Lord. We have already have a wonderful time here tonight when we come before the Lord in praise and worship. And my prayer is also that that the Lord will be always the center of our lives, and that we will always focus every day, every moment of the day. Focus on the Lord, because He is our Redeemer, He is our Savior, He is our leader. Tonight I will bring you the word from 1 Timothy 4, where Paul writes to the young pastor in Ephesus, to Timothy, and he gives him a lot of commands and a lot of advice. And one of the things he wrote to Timothy is, he said to Timothy, exercise yourself towards godliness. Now, tonight we can put our own names in front of that and said that the Lord said tonight to every one of us, train yourself toward godliness, and we will look in that tonight. Today, many people train themselves to be healthy and to be fit. They train their body so that they could run the that they should run the Comrades or complete the August race. I think Louis and Sean and Charles, they also, I think, are busy practicing. I don't know if they will try, but today we live in a time that there is a big emphasis on fitness. And the aim of all of that is good health. They train because they want to be fit and be of good health. Or they train because they want to complete the Argus race. Or they want to complete the Comrades. And also in the time of Paul, there was a big emphasis on physical fitness, especially under the Greeks in his day. Every town has its own gymnasium, and young and old train their bodies to be fit and healthy. And when Paul said to Timothy, exercise yourself toward godliness, here in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, it didn't mean that physical fitness is not important. On the contrary, he emphasizes to Timothy strongly in his letters two things. He said, to be physical fit is to be halfway fit. More important than physical fitness is to be spiritual fit. To be fit in your spiritual life. And that is the reason I ask your attention for these important words of Paul here in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, where he said to Timothy, exercise yourself toward godliness. In the Amplified Bible, it reads, train yourself toward godliness, piety, keep yourself spiritually fit. Now, last time, when I about a month ago, my theme of the sermon was fan or follower. And if you are a fan, you sit on the pavilion and just watch the race, but not partake in the race. If you are a follower, you join them on the playing field. You join them in the race. So, and to do that, you must be fit. And it also is for our spiritual life. And that is why I want to determine two things with you. One is, what is this train in godliness? What means that to us? And the second one is, why is this train in godliness so important or necessary for our lives? Oh. Sorry for that. Let us stand a moment still by the first question. What is this train in godliness? And to answer this question, we must focus on two key words in our text, namely the one word godliness and the other one is train. Now, I look it up in the Greek, and godliness, the Greek word for godliness is eusebia, and that means piety, I hope I pronounce it correct, spiritually, the gospel scheme, godliness, holiness. In the Greek language, it means piety or holiness, the things of the Lord, the things of the kingdom of God, a life dedicated and surrendered to the Lord, a life in service of the Lord. That is, in short, what godliness means. And the other words, namely train, Paul used the Greek word gymnazo, and that is from that word our the word gymnasium is related to, and literally it means to practice naked, as the Greeks in their time at the Olympic Games. That is, train, exercise yourself. And when Paul said to Timothy, train yourself in the things of the Lord. Train yourself in a life dedicated to the Lord. Train yourself in holiness. It means that every one of us must have a spiritual gymnasium. Paul said an absolute important thing in this verse. He said, Timothy, child of God, train, exercise as a gymnast in the gymnasium. Train, exercise yourself in the things of the kingdom of God. A life dedicated, surrender in service of the Lord. And keep in mind, this is a command. And whoever not execute this command is disobedient to the word of God. And this is also a process that not taking place once, but it is a process that continued forever. Here is not such a thing that you can finish training and stop exercising. I cannot run the comrades if I only run the afternoon before 5 kilometers, and then the next day I want to run the comrades. Now, if I want to register for the comrades, then my comrades begin one afternoon with the first 5 kilometers. And ends the day when I reached the goal line and completed the race. And between the first kilometer I train and the goal line lies many hours and many kilometers on the road and in the gymnasium. A lot of sweat and training before I can complete the comrades. And that is also for us as Christians in our spiritual life. When I become a Christian, that is not the goal line. That is not the end of the race. I've not finished the race yet. No, it is only the first kilometer of the race. In front of me lies a lot, many kilometers to run before I can complete that spiritual race. What is the reason then why you have to spend so much time in your spiritual gymnasium? The goal in any race is that you can become strong and fit for the race. And spiritually, it also means to be ready for that day, you have to run God's comrades. And this also asks for discipline in our spiritual life. Discipline in your training program, where you faithfully execute the instructions of your instructor, your coach, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And this is year where so many of us give up after the first kilometers in God's race. I think that is the reason why there are so many unfit Christians in the churches all over the world today. Many big, fat, Christian, unfit fans that sit on the pavilion or before their TVs, but not fit followers of Christ that partake in the race. Unfit Christians that not keep up with the training program what God gave us. And now you will ask me, but where is that spiritual gymnasium? I want to go and train myself. I want to go and exercise to be fit for God's race. Our spiritual gymnasium is in your closet, in Afrikaans, in your binnenkamer. Like the gymnast that spent many hours in the gymnasium, and like the athlete, a lot of time on the road, likewise, every one of us must spend our time in your closet. We have to follow the example of our instructor, Jesus Christ. He was disciplined and regularly spent time in his closet. There is many verses in the Bible that tells us that. One verse is Mark 6, verse 46, where Mark wrote there, and Jesus departed to the mountain to pray. Your closet can be everywhere. At your home, somewhere in the field, in your garden, or everywhere where you can be still with God and spend time every day with God. As an example of other example is Daniel in Daniel 6, where we read verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. That appointment every day with my instructor, Jesus Christ, that is my closet. That is the time where I train to be fit for the race to be run in the world today. But the other place where my spiritual, where I can find my spiritual gymnasium is in the church, in our local congregation. That is our spiritual practice field. There in our cell groups or in our church meetings. The congregation is a wonderful space where I can implement that what my instructor teach me in my closet, where I can grow spiritually fit and strong. Paul also said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, I read here in the Amplified Bible, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyze and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. And also other verse is 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, where Paul said, let no one despise or think less of you because of your youth, but be an example, pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And that all take place in the congregation where your spiritual gymnasium are. You can say that I am busy. Can you say that you are busy with that what Paul so strongly amplified to Timothy, that you are every day busy training yourself in godliness? And when we really do that, then we shall not year in and year out be the same Christians who without strength plot around in this world. And when you die and you reach heaven's door, you had to sing that Afrikaans song, Moet ek gaan met leë hande. And that brings us to our second question. Why is this training in godliness so important or necessary for every Christian? Why is it that our race not in the day when we become a Christian? Why is it so important? There are two big reasons. There are other reasons also, but I will stand on you tonight by two reasons, two big reasons. The one is because the assault on your life will become bigger in these days. About this, the Bible is very clear. The Bible teaches as the coming of the Lord is near, it will become more difficult to stand at the side of the Lord. Jesus said in John 16 verse 33, in the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Paul also written in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, and where he said, but understand this, Timothy, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. And of these times, said the last book of the Bible, Revelation 12, verse 12, but woe to you, for the devil has come down to you in fierce anger, fury, because he knows that he has only a short time left. Your beliefs, your principles that are precious and beloved would be under attack daily from the kingdom of hell. The word no would the evil one try to wipe out from your vocabulary. And as the assaults will become bigger and bigger on you every day, therefore, train yourself in godliness. You and I must be fit in our spiritual life to defend ourselves against the assault, the pressure, and the attacks of the evil one. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 13, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. And that is one reason why you must be fit in your spiritual life. You must be fit in godliness, because the assault on your life will become bigger and bigger as the day of the Lord nearer. The second reason is because the world must be conquered for Christ. Jesus gave the command to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. He said, go to all nations and make the people all the nations my disciples. Yeah, the Lord not only save us because he loves us, but also he want to use us, everyone, every child of him, he want to use to conquer the world for him. Did you know that to be a child of God means to be busy every day, to be involved in this conquering of the world for Christ? And we stand before a very big challenge to do that. I have a chart of the world to show you. I get on internet, and it shows us the spreading of the Christians all over the world. There are about 6 billion people on this world today, that God said in John 3 verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone that believe in him will in eternal life. Now, this world, we are here at the south point of Africa. God beloved so that he gave his Son, so that this world can be saved. And of the 6 billion people in this world, there are about 2.1 billion Christians worldwide in 2005, making the Christianity the largest religion in the world today. And the Christians are followed by the Islam. They are about 1.5 billion followers, and then the other religions in the world. Of the Christian population, We see there the United States is about the most Christians, about 70 to 75% of the people of the United States are Christians. They say they are Christians. Also in South Africa is more or less that presentation. You see the South America are the most of the people are Christians. That is the darker blue area, about 90 and over percent. Most of them are Roman Catholics in the South America, and also there in the countries around the Mediterranean Sea, Spain and Portugal and Italy, and the other countries there. We as Protestants are about in this world. That is the group of the Christians we will belong to. Is about nearly 700 million people of the Christian population. The World Christian Database as of 2007 estimate that the growth rate of Christianity is yearly about 1.3%. And that is mostly to high birth rates and conversions that is our society, that were cited as the main reason for the growth. The growth. As we look to Africa, we see, and that is very interesting, that the Africa population, and you see the next slide, please, is about just over 1 billion people, and it grows annually about 2.3%, and 40% are urbanites and of the people of Africa, and there are about over 2,000 languages, different languages in Africa. And Christianity has grown to become, in Africa, the biggest religion in Africa, about nearly two-thirds of the sub-Sahara of Africa. Are mostly Christian people. The Christian numbers grew from 1900 to 2010. Grew from 9.1% of the population of Africa to nearly 49%. That is about 7.5 million in the beginning of the 1900 to last year, there was about 504 million Christians in Africa. But we see that we are very thankful to the Lord and what the Holy Spirit and the Lord is busy doing in Africa. But there are a lot of people. And Anisika, can you just go back to that world chart, please? If you see that gray area, that are known as the 1040 window. And that is the North Africa and also the Asian, the eastern part of the world. And that is the area of the world that need to be where the gospel is need to be carried out, and mostly people there in Africa are Islam in the North in Africa, and in the East is about the Hinduism and the Buddhism and the other Eastern religions. So there are a big need for Christians, and most of the churches are focusing today to bring the gospel to that areas. But also here in our town, I think every one of us knew somebody that are not a Christian at the moment. And the need in our town, in our midst, is also very big. And if we want to conquer the world for Christ, we must be trained to be spiritual fit and to work long hours for the Lord. And to do that, we must be trained in godliness to be spiritual fit. We cannot accept this challenge if we are not spiritual fit. When I was in the army, when I did my military training, I was in Oudtshoorn and we give training to the junior leaders of the army, of the infantry. And before we go up north to the grens area, to the border, we train that young boys to be fit, physical fit, mentally fit, and to know their weapons and to be ready for what they can expect in the war, in every situation. That also, I think, it is more needed in our lives in the spiritual sense today. We cannot reach the people who are already in the graveyard. Their opportunity are gone. We can also reach out to the people who live in our times, in our town. And therefore, we must go full speed for Christ. And therefore, we must be trained and to be fit. I want to close with a scripture in Hebrew 5, verse 11, Hebrew 5, from verse 11, I read like this: concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain. Since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to divine or human law. And that, I will complete with that. And that is therefore that command of Paul to all of us tonight is when he said to Timothy, train yourself in godliness. And that is the word God wants to for every one of us tonight. May God bless you and help you in your spiritual life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you are our help. You are our trainer. You are our coach in this world. Lord, sometimes we are not sure what route to take or what training program to do. But Lord, thank you for this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you give us here, our cell groups, our foundations, our Bible school, our services on Sunday, our meetings in the week, our prayer groups, every place where we can be involved to be trained and to be fit to conquer this world for you and to be stand firm against the assaults of the evil one. Lord, thank you that you can give us the strings and the discipline and help us to be faithfully servants of your words and to do what you say in your word. Therefore, Lord, will you help every one of us tonight from this hour onwards to so that we can exercise every day in godliness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.